In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 9, I'd like to read just a couple of verses here for you real quickly. The author, Solomon, he writes these words. He says, "I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to all. For man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in the evil net, and as the birds that are caught in a snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time, when it falls suddenly upon them." Just real quickly here, before we get into the sermon, you'll notice that there are a few things here that they're not happening according to our plan. They're not something that we've set in stone, that we've written any sort of a roadmap to. These are there are some things in here that come our way in life. And one day our race of life will be over. I'd like to bring our sermon here this morning on this thought of the things that come our way. Most gracious Father in heaven, we do thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us and all that you're going to do. And we ask you, Father, please help me to present the sermon here today the way that you'd have me to. That each and every one that is gathered here will be able to hear exactly what it is that they need, so as that they can go forward for you. That if there's anyone here who does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, that they would make today that glorious day that they ask Him to save them. Help us, Father, please, be obedient to you. We love you, Lord, and we do pray, Lord, for your blessings upon Pacific Garden Mission, upon the residents and the staff here, Father. We thank you, Father, for each and every one. In the name of Jesus, we do ask you. Amen and amen. So, life happens. Things are going to cross our path. And certainly no one knows when their time will be up, when their number is called. When that happens, it's not going to matter what plans you had made. It's not going to matter what things you had desired to do, what position you held in life, how much you have in the bank account. It's not going to matter what is taking place. What's going to matter is, number one, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? And number two, have you been obedient to Him? Because the things that are going to come along in life, they're coming at us whether we want them or not, whether we know about them or not. It's coming our way. That's why it's called life. Scars are simply a sign of having lived, of having gone through something and having healed from it. I want to show you here this morning three things that come our way. Number one, things happen to us for a reason. And I'm sorry, I'm just going to put this out there very bluntly because I know it certainly applies to me. They come to us mostly because we brought it on ourselves. There's an awful lot of things that I have had to suffer through and still do at times because I'm a moron, and that's the good half of me. But things come our way. But it does not mean that when something comes our way in response to our own stupidity, our own gullibility, our own willingness, that we have to just accept how it has knocked us down and just lay down and die. We can get back up. You'll notice here in verse number 11, the writer says here, "I returned and saw under the sun." Now, under the sun, that's simply a phrase in the book of Ecclesiastes that says this is the high water mark. Under the sun. Even though we launched men to the moon, we still have never gotten over the sun. So everything is below the sun. The sun is our high watermark. Spiritually speaking, the sun is the high watermark. None of us will ever become greater than the Son of God. So as we see these things here, whether it be something that happens in a spiritual sense or in the physical sense here, he says, I saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to the men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. We've got some people here who I'm sure to one degree or another would consider themselves to be a little bit more superior because they're the fastest runner, they're the strongest, they're the wisest, the smartest, so on and so forth here. But even these individuals have things come their way that trip them up. And like I said, sometimes it's because of things that we do to ourselves. I'm sure we've all heard the fable of the rabbit and the hare, the tortoise and the hare, I'm sorry. And that rabbit, he's running the race and he's winning. And he gets so far along and says, I'm so far ahead, I'm going to take a nap. And he lays down and takes a nap. Next thing he knows, the tortoise has passed him and crosses the finish line before him. Okay, yeah, exactly. And we do that to ourselves. We've got things starting to go. They're going good. And we allow temptations to come our way. We allow people to come into our lives who we know don't come near me. You're trouble. And it brings problems to us. We start slacking off in our own personal protection. And then we got nothing but issues. It puts us in a position we don't want to be in. But just because we're there does not mean we cannot better ourselves. I look here at this room full of people and I see people who are trying to better themselves. Who have decided, I don't want to stay down. I want to get back up. I want to live again. I don't care what comes my way. I want to serve Jesus. I want to know Jesus more. I want God to be pleased with me. Just because it comes your way does not mean you've got to yield to it. There's a whole world full of people out there right now. It comes their way and they just yield to it. Maybe it happens in an instant. Maybe it takes 20, 30 years before they finally give in. But give in they do. But here's the thing, church. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. One day we're all going to die. Let's make sure that we've done the part of living correctly to begin with. And that starts with knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The Bible says, Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Gifts are free. They don't cost you nothing to receive it. Just take and receive it. Whereas the person who's given it, it cost them. And it cost Jesus everything to die there on the cross of Calvary so that we can be saved. Surely it costs us basically nothing to live for Him once we're saved. The second thing that comes our way, there are things that happen to us for a different reason. That reason being that God is extending an opportunity to us. Whether it be to get saved, to go serve in a location that we normally wouldn't have thought of, to find a future mate, to go and move to an area for a job. God sends things our way to help guide us. Are we being receptive to what the Lord is providing our way? Or are we telling Him, sorry God, I can't hear you? A great many people do that now. There's a story I heard many years ago. It was about a revival meeting that was taking place at this church. Monday through Friday. The evangelist came and that Monday night, everything went well. The evangelist preached his heart out. Everybody was responding to the message except for two young boys. These early teenagers. They were sitting all the way in the back of the church there, right next to the door. They weren't misbehaving, but they weren't paying any attention. And so the evangelist, he preached that Monday and he kept noticing them. Tuesday comes, he gets up there, he preaches his heart out again. People once again responding. The altars are full. And those two boys are still sitting there, just looking down the entire time. Wednesday comes, same thing. Thursday, same thing. After service, he asked the pastors, what about those two boys back there? They don't misbehave, but they just got their heads buried in their laps. And the pastor says, well, their grandma's making them come, but they're busy doing their homework back there. I'm sorry. And the evangelist said, no, don't apologize about it. Don't apologize about it. Friday morning came. This evangelist had showed up with five sermons prepared to go. He's preached four of the five. And he can't get his mind off of those two young men sitting there at the back. As he begins in the morning there to pray and to go over the sermon for that night, he has absolutely no peace whatsoever about preaching that sermon. Lunchtime comes. He bypasses eating. He's too busy studying. He's diligently searching the scriptures for what the sermon would be that God would have him preach that night. He looks down at his watch and suddenly he's only got a couple of hours to go before it's time for church. He's not hungry and he still doesn't have the sermon. He takes his gets a shower. He gets dressed. The pastor picks him up. They drive to the church there. Before church, they have their usual meeting of the men to pray over the service. And they do this and he comes out and notices the two boys are sitting right there in the back. They're already got their heads down doing their homework. And the preacher's heart is grieved. He doesn't have the sermon for that night. And those two young men are sitting right there and he can't reach them. Something needs to come along to give him guidance on what to do and to come along and get a hold of them. And he's praying and he's begging God for help. The first couple of songs are sung. The preacher still doesn't have peace about the sermon. They sing the final songs. The specials are all sung. And the pastor now introduces the evangelist yet again. The evangelist gets up there, carries his Bible, opens it up to where the passage is for that one sermon he had prepared, and sets his Bible down on the pulpit. Hasn't said a word yet. He looks up and he starts looking from one side of the congregation to the other. And then comes back and he notices those two boys still sitting there, still busy doing their homework. Closes his Bible. He says, I've had a sermon prepared for tonight, but I'm not going to preach it. He notices the heads kind of bob up a little bit and right back down. He says, I want to tell you a story, a true story that happened a long time ago. Seems there was this dad who loved to go deep sea fishing out here on the Pacific Ocean. And he loved taking his boy out there on that boat with him. And his son had a best friend. And they decided they'd take the best friend out fishing with them on this particular day. And as the pastor's looking, or the evangelist is looking around, he sees the two young men. Their heads aren't as down anymore. They're kind of looking up. He can tell they're just sitting there. They're kind of listening. He says, they go out there on this boat. They're out there fishing. They found the one spot they love to go to that they always catch a lot of fish. And there's no action whatsoever. No fish are biting. They can't get nothing to happen. Well, after a couple of hours of doing this, the boys, they're kind of bored. So, hey, Dad, can we go swimming? Dad says, okay, sure. So they take off their life vests and they jump in the ocean there and they're swimming around. Dad told him, stay on that side of the boat there because I'm still going to have my line over this way just in case. The two young men in the back of the church, they're paying full attention now. Preacher's talking about fishing. They like that idea. So Dad, he's after a while, he gets kind of tired. He just pulls the brim of his hat down. He's going to take a little siesta while he's waiting on something to happen. Something to happen. Interesting. Well, don't know how long he'd been out, but suddenly the boys are climbing in that boat as fast as they can, and Dad realizes what woke him up was the jostling of the boat, but not because of those two young men. It's because of the waves that are now hitting the boat. He pulls the brim of his hat up, and the sky has gone completely dark. And the two young men at the back of the church are fully paying attention to the sermon at this point. The evangelist continued that Dad realized that there's a storm right there. He began to try to get the boys onto the boat, help them get in. And all of a sudden, a wave really hits the boat kind of hard, knocks him against the wall of the boat. But he finally got the second boy in. He turns and looks the direction the waves have been coming. And there's a really tall wave coming. He begins to shout out for the boys to get their life vests on, but there's no time. That wave hits the boat and capsizes the boat. All three of them are thrown into the water. Dad got pushed the furthest out. He's facing the direction that that boat used to be. It's gone already. The two boys, they're flailing about in the water. They're exhausted from having been out in the water for a couple of hours already swimming. Neither one was able to get to his life vest. Dad looks beyond them and there's a wave coming twice as tall as the one that just sank their boat. He's got his life vest on. But he knows they're so far out to sea that those two boys cannot survive on their own. He has to wear his life vest still. Dad had, inadvertently, as he was trying to get a hold of the side of the boat to pull the boys in, had grabbed hold of the life ring. He still had it in his hand. And as the wave was about to crash down upon them, Dad looked at his son and he looked at his son's best friend. And hollered out to his son, I love you. And with all of his might, he threw the life ring to his son's best friend who caught it just as the wave hit him. And he never saw his own son ever again. The two young men sitting back there in the back of the church, he can see the tears are starting to stream down from their eyes. The evangelist continued, Dad knew which one to throw the life ring to because he knew his own son had just gotten saved the summer before. That he would once again see his son in heaven someday. But his son's best friend was at that moment heartbeats away from the gates of hell. So he sacrificed his own son so that someone else can go free. With this, the evangelist stepped down from behind the pulpit and walked over to the pastor the whole time, staring a hole through those two young men back there. And as he stood next to the pastor, he began to pat him on the shoulder. I know I've said this before, but thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. He looked the crowd over real quick. Continued to pat his pastor there on the shoulder. Back at those two young men, he says, your pastor was my best friend's father. And he sacrificed his own son for me. Something happened for those two boys that day. They didn't need a sermon on hell. But they needed God to send something their way, and that was a true life story about something that happened decades before. But it was enough for them that night to get saved. To understand they needed Jesus Christ to save them. God sent something their way. because 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. And behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." The word succor means to aid or to help. And he understood those two boys that night. They needed the help of that sermon being brought, of that true story being brought. Just like the young man in that story there. He needed the help of losing his own best friend, his own best friend's father, sacrificing his life so that he can be saved, so that he can one day become eternally saved. God arranged all of these things to happen for three souls to be saved. If He can do all that, what can He do for you? Thirdly, things come our way so as that we can know for sure about eternity. 1 John 5:13 says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." He will send things our way to assure us of our salvation. He will send things our way to assure us that we are following His will. That one day we can too also hear, "Welcome home, thou good and faithful servant."
Hallelujah.
But that's only going to go to those who have truly accepted Jesus Christ and the free pardon of their sins in the here and now. I want to ask you just one question here in closing today. God will only come by you so many times to invite you to be saved. If you're not saved, are you willing to let Him save you today? It's literally as simple as putting your full faith and trust in Jesus Christ, in Him alone. Father in heaven, we do thank You, Lord, for all that You've done for us. And we praise Your holy name, Lord, for saving a wretch like me, for the opportunity to stand here and bring Your word to Your people. And I pray, Father, again, that if there's anyone here who does not know Jesus as their personal Savior, that they take the time to ask Him right now. And if they still don't understand, that they just go ahead and come on up here and say, "Hey, Dennis, I don't get it. Explain it to me again." Because it's so important that everyone here leave this room knowing Jesus as their Savior. Thank You, Father, for this golden opportunity. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen and amen. I thank You for Your attention.